Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, a very pleasant good morning to you, and welcome back. Hope you enjoyed the first show. It is the 29th of July, Wednesday, the last Wednesday, or the fourth, well, the last Wednesday of the month. It brings us to Richard Mayberry and Early Warning Report. I'll tell you about him in just a second. I just have to tell you, for some reason, the audio thing is not working. But the video is working, so we have something, but we are recording it, so you're going to be able to just get the audio feed. I just can't figure out why that's not working, but hey, what can I tell you? Richard Mayberry is here. As I said, his great newsletter is U.S. An Early Warning Report. We have a deal, a very special deal, only for One Radio Network listeners, that we'll tell you about during this show. If you'd like to get it, I read his entire August newsletter this morning. Really fun stuff, and we're going to go through it and talk about what he has to say. He's written articles and many, many books. Whatever Happened to Penny Candy, Whatever Happened to Justice, my fave. Evaluating books like What Would Thomas Jefferson Think of This, and many other titles. Blue Stocking Press, very popular in the world of homeschoolers. And he's been writing this Early Warning Report for many years, and on geopolitics and finance, and it's just an honor to have you here. Mr. Mayberry, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning to you, Patrick. Good to be back again. And let me once again congratulate you on being one of the few people offering a viewpoint that's different than the mainstream media. There's such a great need for people to hear something other than this well-laundered presentation.
Well, you talked about it in your newsletter this morning, where you and your wife, you were something about, she said, well, if you believe what the government says, I'm going to leave. You know, it's great.
Yeah, I had just misspoke. We were talking, and I had led her to think I was saying that I trusted the government statistics. And she came back to me. She'd been, you know, we've been married 53 years.
Right.
She came back to me with, if you're going to start believing the government, I'm leaving.
That's right. I'm out of here, boy. Since I got to do that. Yeah, isn't it, I mean, I've never seen anything like this, Mr. Mayberry, of the things that come out with these, you just can't believe anything they say now, any of the numbers, the data, you know, this whole term data, you know, that they're, you know, that the CDC is using, nobody believes them anymore.
Yeah, I think it's important to point out that they don't believe them anymore either. what's happened is that over the last century or more, the federal government and the state and local governments too have been tinkering with the economy just in more and greater and greater degrees, to the point that they've just wrecked practically everything. There's some large element of disorganization in practically everything because of what these people have done. The federal government alone has made up more than 300,000 laws, almost all of them dedicated to trying to make us perform our economic activity in ways that they want rather than the ways we want. And so the disorganization that these people have created is astounding. The regulations, the red tape, I mean, it is horrible. The taxes, it's just wrecking the economy end to end. And so what they do, you know, the ones in power today probably understand none of this. And all they are doing is they've inherited the mess that politicians before them made over 100 years or more, and they have no idea what to do. There's just absolutely a complete loss of understanding of how to reverse the mess that's been created over And so they're lying. What other choice do they have than to lie? And that's what they're doing.
And isn't it fascinating how the entire financial community hangs on every word that Jerome Powell, chairman of the Fed, you know, they're going to taper, or they're not going to print as much, or we're going to print more, or, you know, inflation is just temporary, you know, and they it's just, I don't know what to believe.
Yeah. Well, one thing that's going on here, it's very important to remember, is that virtually all the schools and colleges are owned or controlled by government agencies. And so it's the same thing as you would have if you had a government-controlled press. The kids are taught things that are complementary to the government, and they're taught very, very little that's critical of it. And so your people who are old enough now that they're running the financial system, all these financial companies, banks and brokerages and all, almost all of these people were born, or let's say, you know, they are of an age where they did not experience the Vietnam War, and they don't remember the lying that was going on in that war. Guys were dying at a tremendous rate. I mean, horrible things. You know, a lot of my friends were killed, and the government was lying. So the lesson that the baby boomers learned was don't ever trust the government. Those people lie. And that was very poorly passed down to subsequent generations. And, you know, because the schools are getting all this government money, government regulation, they don't want to tick off the government. So the kids have been brainwashed, essentially, and now those kids have grown up. And they are running the world, and they don't understand how crooked governments are.
And now Mr. Biden and his crew, they want to provide more education. Do you see that? What is this? They want to be more free kindergarten up to whatever.
Community college.
Everything. Just,
Free from kindergarten. Well, no, from daycare before
daycare,
kindergarten.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, so from the time the child is born all the way up to 2 years of college, all free, but of course all regulated by the federal government to make sure the children grow up believing that government is the solution to all their problems.
I read a little article about Mr. Schumer. He's the head guy, I guess, and I don't even know what he is. He's the whatever. We really need to take care of these student loans, $1.4 trillion or whatever. they're going to pay them off. You watch these people.
Yeah, well, they're going to pay them off by printing the money.
Of course.
That's right. You can pay for anything if you got a printing press, and nobody's going to stop you from printing money.
Does anybody ever ask these people where the money comes from when they say they're going to do $1 trillion this or you're going to get rid of the student loans? Does anybody in the media, except people like you or I, ask where the money coming from?
The media, these people too, are raised in government-controlled schools. And so they want to believe that this money comes from somewhere, just conjured up out of thin air. And the government, if anybody anywhere needs anything, the government should supply it. And what can you say? I mean, but that's what they were taught. There's really very, very little understanding of real economics. It's all either socialist or kind of the bastard child of socialism, which is called Keynesianism, after the guy who invented it, who was John Maynard Keynes. And it's all about a view that the economy is not human beings. It's a machine, and you can fine-tune that machine, and you can speed it up or slow it down. And the fact that these are people's lives that we're talking about here, that you're going to meddle in people's lives in order to speed up the economy or slow it down or whatever, that's never brought up. It's just that it's both the socialism and its offspring, Keynesianism. They see the economy as a machine. And the news media has just swallowed that hook, line, and sinker. You hear them use that terminology. The economy is going too fast, or it's going too slow, or it needs to heat up, or it needs to cool down. They think it's a machine.
But the economy is really, Patrick or Richard or our listeners, getting up and doing stuff, going to work, making money, buying stuff. That's the economy?
That's right. The economy is not a machine. It is human beings. And every one of them is different. Everyone has a free will. Everyone has his own collection, his own specific needs, wants, and desires that's probably not identical to anybody else's. And we all make our way through life doing our best to fulfill our needs, wants, and desires, which are unique to us individually. And yet those idiots in Washington think that they're running a machine and that they know all about what's good for you and me. They don't even know our names, but they think they know what's good for you and me. And it's insane. I mean, it's just grossly insane. But it's been taught to all of these kids in all of these schools for generation after generation. And it's practically impossible for people to see that the economy is just individual human beings, millions of them.
We're talking with Richard Mayberry. He's here on the last Wednesday of every month. It's an honor to have him here. Early Warning Reports, great newsletter, and we're going to tell you how you can get one year subscription for a really, really nice deal. Well, you can just click on One Radio Network on the front page, and he'll tell you exactly what to do there. We have no idea of how much money is really, I mean, you can really dig in the reverse repos and all this stuff and look at the Fed's balance sheet, which is now over $8 trillion. So they're printing a bunch of money from the Fed. And it wouldn't be so bad if we were just printing it at Treasury, but we're borrowing the money, which don't even get me started with that, right? I mean, come on, it's like, okay. But we're borrowing the money, so we're creating debt. We have no idea. This is unprecedented, the amount of money printing that has been done in the last couple of years, isn't it? I mean, it's just huge, huge.
Right. I was just looking at some statistics this morning. Now, if you believe the Federal Reserve's numbers, which is a big stretch.
Yeah, it's a stretch. Okay.
But, you know, they're much more likely to lie on the downside than the upside.
Right.
Let's take their statistics and pretend that we're stupid and that we believe them. And just by their statistics, they have, in the last 2 years, printed up $2 trillion.
Yes.
I'm using the
M. That's probably close, right, at least?
Who knows? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, they took away the charts off of the Fed St. Louis, right? The M1. They took those charts away. They quit doing them.
Yeah, there's some of it's available still in other locations, and some is not. But then again, you still have to ask: are these people really telling us the truth? Come on now,
come on.
How dumb are we here? In the last 2 years, according to the Fed, they have injected another $2 trillion into the economy. Well, money responds to the law of supply and demand, just like everything else does. And when the supply of something goes up, the value goes down. And that's the same for money. When the supply goes up, the value of each individual dollar goes down. And then prices rise to compensate for that.
Yes, sir. And
that's what's going on, the rise in prices that you're seeing right now. It's because it's not goods and services that are going up. It's the dollar that's going down.
That's the inflation that we're experiencing. That's what's really going on.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you see where whoever they are, Richard Mayberry, are predicting food prices this fall are going to be about 15% to 20% higher? It seems like they're trying to prepare us for something.
I think you're right about that.
Yeah.
They're trying to avoid more riots, not race riots for a change. But inflation riots.
Wow.
I think that Now why they are trying to prepare us, I don't know why they would. In the past, they've always just outright lied as much as they could to convince people it's not as bad as you think it is.
Right.
Now, I don't know why they're doing this, other than they're just simply desperate, and they're just trying one desperate measure after another without any real faith that it'll work. I don't know. If I were in that position, you know, people sometimes ask me, you know, why don't you run for president? You know, what would you do if you were president? And I say, I would immediately resign. Because there's just nothing else.
I'm not part of this crazy thing.
There's nothing you can do. It's the damage has been done over 100 years, and it's out there. It exists. You have what's called malinvestment. Each time they inject money into the economy, they create hot spots, and then businesses move into those hot spots to take advantage of those increased flows of money. And then, you know, if they ever stop printing the money, then the hot spot goes cold, those businesses go broke, the employees lose their jobs. Well, that's called malinvestment. When the money is injected and it creates investment in places that would not have occurred.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And, yeah, so that's where we are here. We got 100 years of malinvestment out there, at least 100, that have to be shaken out. It's got to happen. And these guys, some of these guys probably understand that, but you know, there's nothing they can do. There has to be a depression to get rid of all of this malinvestment and start over again.
Oh.
So that's the situation they're in. They don't have a solution.
So I'm glancing at the Fed's balance sheet, and once again, we don't know if these numbers are right because there's nobody that audits them. I mean, who knows, right?
But let's just
assume they're being honest here. They've got $2.5 trillion worth of mortgage-backed securities on their balance sheet. A lot of these are from 2008, you know, with the whole Lehman thing when they were buying them. And now, but they still buy them every month. And this can be argued that this is driving home prices because banks will loan anybody with a pulse.
Yep.
Right? And because they know that the Fed's going to buy the mortgage-backed securities that they create, these synthetic instruments. So this is malinvestment in its purest form.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they stop buying the MBSs, and then the housing market falls.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what happens?
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. But you don't know when. All you know is
they're
going
to do it.
They're going to keep on printing money in one way or another, and until the money becomes worthless, and then you have a depression. Now the good news here is that if you get some people in power who understand this stuff, then they will know that they've got to go through a depression. All this malinvestment has to be shaken out. It has to be sold off for what it's really worth,
which
in many cases is practically nothing. And you got to start over and, you know, start building plants and equipment that responds to the real needs of individual human beings. And so there's got to be what's called a depression, which is the shakeout period, the correction period after an inflation. That has to happen.
Has to happen.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, we can copy what happened in 1946.
46. That's when you and I were born.
Yeah, that's right. Right at the end of World War II. The government had printed enormous amounts of money to finance World War II, and the economy was just riddled with malinvestment in the sense that most of that money was used to create weapons to win the war, and when the war was over, there was no need for all that plant and equipment anymore. So everybody could see that this is going to be a big shakeout. And there was fear of a terrible depression in 1946.
Huh.
But what happened was the federal government explained what it was doing in the years before, let's say 2 or 3 years before 46. They told people at the end of the war, all of this stuff is going to be malinvestment, and we're going to have to shake it out. We're going to have to go through a depression and get it all shaken out. So get ready.
They told people.
Yes. They said, get ready. And people did. They started accumulating more cash and did various precautions. Each individual's life is different. So the people understood that that was going to happen. And the people were prepared. The war ended. And it wasn't even anything we would call a recession or depression. It was a recession. The highest the unemployment got was to around 4%, which is considered normal these days. And it was over with in, as I remember, 8 months. And it amounted to practically nothing.
I'll be done.
So it is possible to pull this off the way they did it back then, if you get some enlightened people in power who are willing to get up in front of the TV cameras and explain all this to people. This is what you weren't taught in school or college. Here's what's really going on, and here's what we're going to do to fix it. You know, that's what has to happen. If it doesn't happen, boy, look out.
Well, I don't know. I think that we could have a duo of Kamala Harris and AOC, and I think that they could figure it out. God, I love them.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion.
I know. I don't hear any argument. Unbelievable. Richard Mayberry is with us. It is, he is the editor. That was just like a strange thought that came through there. Sorry about that. Early Warning Report is the name of his newsletter, and I read the August one. It's really fun, and we're going to tease you a little bit about what he wrote in the August one, but you can go on One Radio Network and click on the front page there, and you'll get yourself a one-year prescription or subscription to the Early Warning Report. You save $121, and it's generally the price of $300, so you can do your math and see what you're going to pay, and that is 10 issues. It's a great thing. He gives you some real stock tips. He also gives you some ideas on what, you know, the risk is on different stocks that he and his company looks at. And they have a whole team. He just doesn't, you know, pick out some stocks with charts, but really some stocks that maybe will weather some problems, you know. And he's got a whole thing in there on in this report with the various defense stocks. I'll talk to him when we get back to him. That I think he believes that that war is good business, because the defense stocks, some of them are going to do well. These guys will probably never give up going to war. Anyway, so check it out on the front page, Early Warning Report. It's well worth a few bucks to get this, and you'll learn a lot. It's great fun, and you'll just get a big global view of geopolitics and finance and how to protect yourself. And in this one, he's talking about the Great Eruption as opposed to the Great Reset, and we're going to talk about that when we get back after we tell you about one of our favorite things, molecular hydrogen. Previously with Dr. Mark Cercas, who's written several books on hydrogen, he talks here about how and why it works when we breathe in the hydrogen gas and bubble our water.
Hydrogen is the point between the physical universe and all the other dimensions, the energetic dimensions. The first thing that comes into existence in the physical plane is hydrogen, H1. Hydrogen floods the space in between all the stars and galaxies, and it gives the sun, it takes a bath of hydrogen 24/7. It's constantly being infused with hydrogen, which it burns in the body. We have something similar going in plants. Plants take in light and carbon dioxide. Then they make food, chemical food, and which is a process of adding hydrogen, that when you eat it, you strip it. But you put hydrogen gas into a person, before it's an antioxidant, it's like rocket fuel, and it is rocket fuel.
So many good things are going on when you breathe this hydrogen from the AquaCure machine. That's the one Dr. Cercas uses. And bubble the water, take a look at it on our website. Use promo code ONERADIO. Get a 10% discount. George Wiseman has been making and developing this machine for 30 years, And where do you see the warranties involved? The AquaCure Hydrogen Browns Gas Machine, OneRadioNetwork.com. Well, it's just a wonderful technology. For what it's worth, I breathe it every day of my life. I mean, at night, if I watch a film or read, I have a 25-foot cannula, and you just breathe it and breathe it and just breathe it more and breathe it more and breathe it more. You can also do the water, and it's a lifetime warranty. Again, lifetime, which is pretty cool, very cool. And then a one-year, no-questions-asked, money-back warranty. You can go to molecularhydrogeninstitute.com and look at some of the peer-reviewed studies. They do a lot of work with this in Japan and China, and they're especially using it, very exciting work with helping people to recover from strokes, which, as you know, generally doesn't happen. Somebody has a stroke and their left side or right side doesn't work and they just deal with it. But hydrogen is helping them to come back. So pretty cool stuff. So check it out. It's a great investment. Use promo code ONERADIO. And it's going to be fall soon. You're going to start to think about doing more saunas. I do mine every day during the winter, but summer. But our sauna is a good one. Check it out.
Here's physicist, biologist, chemist, Dr. Gerald Pollack on far infrared saunas.
Infrared energy is what builds this fourth phase of water. And the idea of a sauna, you know, you go in and you sweat and you receive this infrared energy and you feel great after you come out. I felt the same, and so have so many people. And most of us think, well, you know, it's just some sort of psychological issue, and it might be. However, experimentally, we know that infrared energy builds the fourth phase. Your cells should be filled with this fourth phase, but you know, we tend to be somewhat dehydrated and missing some of this fourth phase. And so what happens is if you subject yourself to infrared, the infrared is absorbed by your body, absorbed by your cells, and it converts ordinary water to fourth phase water, and then you feel better.
How cool is that? Structuring the water in your body with the Relax Far Infrared Sauna.
That's pretty cool, Patrick. Oh, we have it on sale right now.
We always have it on sale. We have a special deal. They don't allow us to put it in print, but we just do it here on the air, and it's $1,295. They went up a bit. $1,295 delivered in the lower 48. The shipping, crazy what's going on. We can actually talk to Mr. Mayberry about it in the supply chain. Their shipping, I talked to them yesterday, our sauna guy, 2 days ago, tripled. So say they bring in 500 saunas, right, from Taiwan. That's where they're made, Medical University. Triple the price. That's the kind of craziness stuff's going on with the supply chain right now. So our price has gone up a bit, but it's great, great value. I think they retail $14 or $15.95. We have them for $1,295 delivered in the lower 48. For those of you who went to school in Portland, that doesn't include Alaska. I always give Portland a hard time. Alaska and Hawaii. And we ship them all over the world. Just email me to get the right price. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. And we'll give you the best price you're going to get anywhere.
From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
On the fourth Wednesday of the month, we have the honor of talking to Mr. Richard Mayberry. He's fun. He was born in 1946, right?
Yep.
1946.
Mm-hmm.
So we're boomers. We're boomers.
Yeah, early ones.
Early ones. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about, on this month's newsletter, the Great Eruption, which is different because what we see out there is the Great Reset, right? This is what's being sold by the Davos crowd and Klaus Schwab and all these people. They want to do a Great Reset. And I don't know what it is. Do you know what it is, what they want to do?
Specifically, no, but I can tell you in general.
It's not going to be good for us, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, they're going to stick their noses more deeply into your life, and they're going to rearrange it for you.
Oh, well, good. Well, that'll be great. We need that.
So you're talking about the great eruption, and you say there's three things that you think are going to be going on that are in the works, which is rebellion, and we'll talk about that, from inflation, cyber warfare, kind of things that that's been going on with the grid and stuff like that, right? And the meat plants that have been attacked, allegedly, and then inflation. And you call this a great eruption. So talk a bit about your theory and philosophy on what you think is going to happen here coming in to a TV near you.
Okay. Well, it's not going to happen. It is happening.
Happening.
It has started. It's three crises. The one is the rebellion against the swamp, which we saw in the elections of 2016 and 2020. You had somewhere around 70 million people voted for Trump, who was promising to drain the swamp. And that's how how half of the U.S. population now sees the federal government as a swamp.
Yes.
And they're not wrong about that. And it's recognized now that anybody that's got any brains can see America has gone off the rails. It's very clear. You have to be born yesterday to not know it. And, a very, very big part of that is the federal government meddling in everybody's lives in practically every way anybody in Washington can think of. And so there's a rebellion against that going on.
Yes, ma'am.
And I would count January 6th, the attack on Congress, as the beginning of the real rebellion, and part of it will certainly be an armed rebellion. So that has started. There's no doubt about it, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the second thing that is going on is the cyber war. Governments hate each other. Governments have fought since the year 3600 BC. Governments have fought more than 14,000 wars against each other. Governments hate each other. They are just glorified street gangs. And they are trying to hurt each other in any way they can, like they always have for thousands of years. And the new way to hurt each other is to use the internet as a battlefield. And that's what they're doing. And when a government gets in a fight with another government, they don't care what happens on the battlefield. They can level the battlefield, leave nothing left standing. They don't care. All they care about is hurting each other. That's what's going on the internet. One of the fallouts of these battles between these governments, this cyber war that's going on now, is that a lot of the cyber troops who are trained very highly to attack other people are going off on their own. They're freelancing, and they're becoming ransomware experts. And they have skills that no civilian group is going to be able to do much about. Now, you can buy your civilian software to protect you against civilian hackers, and that will do you some good. But now, this recent hack, this really big one that happened on July 4th, that was a military-grade attack. So we've got confirmation now that the military-grade hackers are attacking businesses. This one was attacking a lot of small businesses. So, small businesses, big businesses, they're all helpless against a military-grade attack, and that is what has started. So the internet is going down, folks. The internet is in big, big trouble. There's going to be a period here where the internet just quits working and people are going to abandon it, and then we will go to what, in my opinion, what you should call the splinternet, and that will be a revival of the system that we had about 30 years ago. You might remember CompuServe and America Online and Prodigy and all those.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go to something resembling that. And that will develop from there, and that will be your replacement for the internet. But that period of adaption, where we go from the internet to the splinter net, that's going to be nasty for a while, for some months, I would imagine.
Wow.
And it could be only a few weeks. I don't know. What is going to happen, I hope, is that as the situation gets worse, a lot of big corporations are going to realize that the internet's going under, and they better start working on a solution. And they will pour enormous amounts of money into standing up the splinter net. And so it's very possible we're going to have a gradual transition that will start before the actual death of the internet. And so we'll, in that transition period after the internet goes down, well, there will already be some CompuServes and Prodigies and America Online's out there in operation, and they will just continue to expand from there. That's the way I see it. I am not an internet or a computer expert. Yeah.
So there is a way that, because I'm like you, I don't understand how this whole thing works, but so there's a way that there could be other pathways to be on the internet that is not on the internet that we know today.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? And then you...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. And we saw it, back in the early 90s.
When it started, right?
Yeah, the telephone, and you had DSL, and again, Prodigy on America Online, and these ones that operated that way. And then what happened was a guy named Tim Berners-Lee, a computer genius, came along and decided that everybody in the world should be hooked to everybody else, unless you use the internet for that. And the whole world just piled onto this thing without acknowledging to themselves that if everybody's connected to everybody else, that means that I'm going to be connected to millions of criminals. Nobody ever wanted to face that. There was no discussion about it at all. And now we're in this position where, ransomware is just starting to run wild.
Sure.
You got criminals hitting you from all sides. There's no such thing as computer security. Anybody that tells you that you can trust our equipment here because we have all these really sophisticated protections against intrusion, don't believe it. There's the military grade hackers can get into anything.
I wonder, is there a way to say you've got some cash in the bank? Is there a way to not have that online at all? Do you know?
Nothing that I know of. Yeah. The banks have bought into this wholesale.
The banks are all wired in, right? And they want you to do everything online.
Yeah.
No more paper. So you're are you saying, Richard Mayberry, that we're kind of online in our bank accounts whether we want to be or not?
Yep.
Right.
Exactly. Right. Your finances, whether you want your finances to be out there for the whole world to see or not, they are. Go ahead.
Yeah. This whole story that you wrote in your latest newsletter with France and it was just fascinating to me, and it was all about inflation, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Tell folks the story. It's great. It's a good story. Yeah. I like this story.
This is one of those things where you should be very glad you weren't there on the scene.
Yeah.
When it happened.
Because this was real time, real stuff. Right?
Oh, man. The French Revolution, well, the French government in the 1700s was, like any other government, they're a bunch of gangsters, and they had enemies, and they were taxing the people as heavily as they possibly could to subsidize their allies, and, it's governments behaving like governments. And they hit on this idea of counterfeiting the money, and they tried that early in the 1700s, and it worked really well for a while, but eventually the population caught on that this was going on, and they were just printing dollars, or printing sous, I think they were called, paper money, and it became worthless. The people wouldn't accept it anymore. So it lasted maybe 20 years, and then it was gone. Well, then along, it's like 60 years later, the French government had just run the economy into the ground, and they had revived printing money again. And French, it was called I can't remember the names of the currencies.
Oh yeah, what was
it? Not important.
That's right.
They went ahead. They started printing money again, and the population eventually caught on. They realized their savings were becoming worthless. They dumped the money as fast as they could. It became worthless. Then the French government issued a new currency. Now, this isn't the main point here. The French government issued a new currency called the assignat.
Assignat, right.
And that thing lasted for a few years. The population caught on. This is just another hoax. They rejected it. They wouldn't accept it. It became worthless. And then the French government came out with another currency.
Another. They just changed it. They said, here's a new one. Here's a new one.
Yeah. There's a new currency. And we promise you, people, we won't inflate this into worthlessness. And a year later, it was worthless. That just wrecked the French economy. Whatever was left of it was wrecked by that one was called the Mandat.
Mandat.
And French people rose up, and then you had the French Revolution with the mobs murdering people right and left. It was really horrible. That's why the guillotine was invented, to be able to kill people as quickly as possible.
And who were the mobs? Were they fighting with each other because of the inflation, or were they fighting with the government who were printing the money?
Well, everybody was fighting with everybody.
It was just a free-for-all.
Yeah, that's the word right there, right. France became a free-for-all.
Wow.
And you had various political groups that shook out of that each trying to get hold of the government.
But, right.
Nobody was really successful, and it just... The revolution went on year after year after year of this murder and robbery and every kind of insanity you can imagine. And then along came Napoleon Bonaparte.
Good old Napoleon.
Yeah, and so while the riots were going on, Napoleon said, how are we going to stop these riots? And the answer he came up with was to put cannons in the streets. He did not... rely on muskets or bayonets or other shoulder weapons of any kind. He rolled cannons out, cannons that were of warship caliber.
Wow.
And he just rolled those up into the streets, and the rioters were down there, burning and looting and killing each other, and he just started firing. And these cannons were loaded with grape shot. Yeah, grape shot. It actually turns a cannon into a giant shotgun. The shot is the size of a grape, and that cannon fires out 12 pounds of this shot per fire,
per hit, yeah.
Yeah. And they just swept the streets firing grape shot out of these warship caliber cannons. And that stopped the rebellion. He was so successful at taking control by that means that he just went on to conquer most of Europe. And Napoleon got something in the neighborhood of 5 million soldiers and sailors killed. And then probably there was something around that number, at least, of civilians that were killed, too. And finally, it all wound down, went away. But it took like 26 years for that to happen. And I look at the French runaway inflation as the model for all runaway inflations. Now, they don't all follow it exactly, but generally they make the population, the runaway inflation destroys the savings of the population. They become desperate, and they start reaching out for anything that gives them hope.
Interesting. And that could happen here.
Oh, well, it did happen twice. It happened in the 1780s. The continental dollar went that direction.
Right.
It wasn't the riots that were as bad or anything, who knows? Hundreds of thousands of Americans certainly lost a large part or all their savings by holding them in continental dollars, because the government just printed continental dollars like crazy, and they became worthless. The same thing happened in the 1760s. the Confederate dollar and the greenback dollar both were very heavily inflated.
Yes.
The continental dollar was inflated to the point where it became worthless again, and people who had held their savings in Confederate dollars found that they had no savings left. And that is a big part of what caused the South at the end of the war to be such a wreck for so many years, because the people didn't
have no money.
Yeah, right. They were really desperate. Their economy had just been wrecked by that, and the war itself too, of course.
And all this because prices rise, and the savings and whatever you have or holding is just becomes worthless.
Yeah. Now, I remember I made the point that the Great Eruption is already happening.
Yes.
And I explained that in the August newsletter. Well, what's happened already now, and I'm using again the government statistics, which I hate to do, but it's all we have.
That's all we got.
Now, they said inflation, they've reported inflation over the last 12 months is 5%.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is that every dollar that you owned a year ago is now worth only 95 cents. And if you had $1 million, that million now is only worth $950,000.
Right.
And this isn't going to stop. They're going to keep printing money. And so it's very likely to get worse. And so the buying power of your money is going down. Right now, as you and I speak on the phone here,
yes, sir.
The buying power of your money is falling. The government's inflation statistics are an admission that the buying power of your money is falling.
And I think it can be argued that 5% is not correct, closer to 10 or 12. But just for fun, we'll give them the 5.
Yeah, I would buy 10 easily.
Pretty easily.
Yeah.
And to your point too, Mr. Mayberry, there's just no reason, I don't know how to say this, but there's just no reason to believe that they're going to stop printing money.
Right.
Right? I mean, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
this is what they do for a living, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
This is what they do.
Yeah.
Just no, and unless they got it, you know, unless they all got religion one day and woke up and said, whoa, well, let's just get real here. But what's the chance of that happening?
Yeah. Expecting the government to solve this problem is expecting the cause to be the cure.
Yes.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Yeah. So, and that's a whole lot of what Early Warning Report is about, and not only in the August issue, but the coming September issue,
mm-hmm.
Is how to protect your wealth.
Yes.
You want to be sure that you have some part of your wealth outside the financial system, outside the currency, so that you are not vulnerable to what these people are doing to us.
And I think that then harkens to the idea that there's many people that are in good, solid investments and solid stocks even, but still, if it's a dollar-denominated stock 5 years from now, you could be not very happy, right?
Well, it depends on the stock. If you're in banking stocks, I don't like banking stocks,
right,
because their stock in trade is the dollars that are being inflated.
Mm.
So that, to me, that just can't work out very well in the long run. Maybe in the short run, but not in the long run. And the other thing is what I call endurables.
Durable, yeah.
And these are investments that are that consist largely of real stuff that you can touch. There are stocks that are ownership certificates of those types of things. For instance, an oil company owns oil in the ground, and that oil is going to stay valuable regardless of what happens to the dollar.
Right.
So owning an oil stock is a type of endurable. Owning a railroad is a type of endurable. Those tracks are still going to be there no matter what happens to the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
and the engines and the cars and all that. It's going to exist. So you want things that are real, and there are a lot of stocks that are ownership certificates for things that are real. And those I would qualify as endurables.
So even then, if you lose a value in the dollar, but at least you're not going to lose it all, right? Because you're still going to have a valuable stock in companies that have products that haven't lost value.
What typically happens in these cases is simply those kinds of stocks just keep on going up.
Do they?
As the money keeps going down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is real
similar
stuff.
To gold, right? Similar to gold or silver.
Yes, exactly the same process. Right? Mm-hmm. It's a real thing, and the dollar is not a real thing. It's just a piece of paper. In fact, most dollars these days are just electronic pulses, like cryptocurrencies.
Sure.
Just electrons that people trade back and forth, which I think is quite insane.
But come on. Now, you don't want to spend $40,000 for a little blip. Come on.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I mean, this trading electrons is
amazing,
people,
isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there is no shortage of electrons. There never has been.
We got more electrons here. You know, how much you want?
Yeah, right.
How many 40,000s you got? So I wonder, have you ever come across your company? Do you guys do a lot of research there, Early Warning Report, to invest in companies that have a lot of water somewhere, water in the ground? I think water is going to be a big one coming.
Yeah, actually, it's been like 20 years since I did research on that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that is a long time ago. I recommended companies that just have a lot of water. There are some that just accumulate deposits of water. And as I remember, they did not do too well because I was too early.
You were too early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's about all I really remember. I'm glad you pointed that out to me. Maybe we should
look at some. Yeah. I can recall years ago, I read an article that Boone Pickens, you know, the Texas oil dude, he got out of oil and he started buying water. Groundwater all through Texas. I think he's still doing that. And then if you look at the movie, a great movie called The Big Short, you know, Jim Barry, who saw the mortgage-backed security thing and went short them in 2006 and made billions of dollars because of the MBSs went south, right, with Lehman. Mm-hmm. They said at the end of the movie that his new venture is water.
Hmm.
That's what he's looking at. You know, Dr. Barry, who made all the money on the mortgage back. But I, you know, like, yeah, maybe your company would look into that. It'd be fun to own a little water. So,
yeah, not a bad idea.
I'm starting to hear, too, a lot of things happening in the Middle East with Iran, Iraq, and other places. They're starting to argue about who owns the water. So,
yeah. I wouldn't go near that place.
Though. Oh, man. Here's an email for you. If the internet goes down, does that include the grid? And what happens to crypto? If digital coins are, well, this is a good question. If digital coins are held in personal safes such as Trezors, will they be protected until the tech stuff is restored?
There's no way to know.
They're talking about the off the wallets. In theory, they say that no matter what happens, if you have your little wallet, you know, you still own your bitcoins.
Well, that may legally be the fact, but what it's worth depends on what somebody's willing to pay you for it. And if people are afraid of the
internet, right?
The internet or whatever it is that's used to transfer the stuff, then, you know, a demand doesn't exist unless there's somebody actually standing there ready to pay you something. And if they don't have a way to pay you, it's going to be worthless as far as the markets are concerned. So, and you know, I don't believe in the cryptocurrencies anyhow, any more than I do believe in the government's currencies. You know, they're all hoaxes, to my mind.
Sure.
Not that you can't make a lot of money out.
Sure.
A lot of people have, but, you know, it's nothing I want to go near. You know, what's going to happen? Well, the answer is nobody knows for sure. you just can't know how human beings are going to innovate, because in generally, when it comes to any kind of innovation, if the solution is obvious, then it would already have been done. And it's not obvious, so people have to research. They got to figure out what's going to work.
Yes, sir.
And that hasn't been figured out completely yet. There's a lot of good planning and reasoning that's behind the SplinterNet, but it's far from being far from gelling into something solid that people can use yet. And again, I'm not an expert on computers or the internet or anything like that.
Yeah,
you know, my
yeah.
background is economics,
I
and I can tell where things are going from an economic standpoint. And you've got, with the internet, you've got an unviable economic model. It ain't going to work for very long, I don't think.
But and to the emailer's point too, I think much of the grids and all kinds of retail and so many things are all tied to the internet, right? The internet goes down, you can't even go to Whole Foods and go through the line, right? You know, our internet's down, we're done, you know.
Yeah.
Can't even open the cash register.
Yeah, that transition period when things are shutting down is going to be nasty if you're not prepared. And you should have, what everybody should have learned over the last year and a half is you should have emergency supplies, food and water and medicines and whatever you need. And you also better take account of the fact that there's going to be more riots, and you want to see to your self-defense. We're headed into that, and I think it's very clear that we're headed into that. It's just that nobody wants to face it yet.
Oh, you can feel it coming, right, Mr. Mayberry?
I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You just feel it. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with all of these audits in Arizona and Wisconsin? And I mean, what if they really come out and prove that this thing was a fraud, right? This election.
Mm-hmm.
What if 75, 80, or 90 million people get feisty about that? I mean,
yeah.
Right? They may.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it, but I mean, yeah. What if he proved that the whole thing was a fraud, which they could? I don't know.
It's a possibility. Yeah.
It's possible. And then the COVID thing, you add this to it, right?
Mm-hmm. The COVID thing.
Wow. It's a big deal. Now they got this whole Delta thing coming out, and the maskers and the vaxxers and the anti-vaxxers, right?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Splitting up everybody.
Yeah. I did not include the COVID-19 in the Great Eruption.
I know. I noticed you didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, because we don't really know how serious it is. All we have to go with is government statistics.
And you can't believe those guys.
Yeah. So you don't really know how serious that disease really is. All you have is a whole lot of doctors who are subsidized by a whole lot of governments
and big pharma, right? I mean,
yeah, right.
How can you trust that? How can you trust it? And check this out. This morning, the head lady at the Center for Disease Control, Rochelle Walensky, suggests that vaccine passport-style system may be implemented in the United States amid this new COVID pandemic Delta variant.
Yeah.
Boy, can you imagine they start requiring people to get vaxxed to go to nightclubs or restaurants or shopping, which they're doing in France?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not going to be good.
Yeah, there's one thing you can be certain about here about COVID-19. But maybe the only thing you can be certain about is that it is a monumental power grab.
Yes, sir.
These people are trampling the Constitution up one side and down the other, and there's, you know, they seem to be actually enjoying it. They're looking for ways to undermine the Constitution. Yeah.
We think we'll go door to door and offer you a vaccine, right? You've seen that, right?
Yeah.
They haven't even finished up with the census, you know, figuring that out. So now they're going to go door to door and offer people vaccines. I haven't heard anything about that. I think that only lasted about a week.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Right?
Sure. Yeah. Again, though, I come back to, you know, the Great Eruption is three crises that are going on right now.
Rebellion.
The rebellion against the swamp, the cyber war, and the new era of inflation. They are here.
Mm.
And people are not grasping that all three of them are growing fast, and there's trouble coming.
Yes, sir. And you heard me mentioning about the saunas. They tripled the price of these saunas, the shipping. Tripled.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, tripled, the guy told me. He said, I can't believe it. He said, I've been paying $6,000 for the last 10 years for this many saunas, right? His latest bill was $20,000.
Oh, be darned.
Yeah.
Wow.
We've been trying to get a little air conditioner, a special kind of one, for our studio up here, and it's been ordered for, Mr. Mayberry, I think 3 months now. Mm-hmm. It's still somewhere in the Pacific. Whatever, trying to get here. So this whole supply chain thing is much bigger than I think we realized, too, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, my wife and I both have bought some furniture, and it took, you know, one piece took like 3 months to get here, another one took 6 months to get here. There's something going on.
It's just not...
I don't know what it is exactly.
You know what it is. These people want to give us a hard time is what it is. I mean, come on. How could it be that tough to unload a container?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, just because you have a mask on, you're having a bad hair day or what?
Yeah. Well, the thing that's going on, one thing that's going on we can all be certain about is that the government is paying people not to work.
Of course. Yeah.
So a whole lot of shipping containers are probably sitting there full of goods.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that part. Yeah,
not being emptied just because the people who would empty them are at home watching television. Wall Street Journal did an article a few days ago. In 19 states, a family of four that decides not to work gets $100,000 a year.
What? In the United States? Where do they get the money? The federal give them that much money?
Well, it's federal, state, and local together.
I see.
You add all those welfare programs together, and remember that a huge amount of what these people get is goods or services, not cash. So they get free medical care.
I see.
Free food, free this and that. I don't know what. Maybe transportation. Depends on what county you're in. But in 19 states, a family of four where the two adults do not decide to work will get the equivalent, the total equivalent of $100,000 a year.
Mm.
That's from the Wall Street Journal.
And aren't they giving the child credit thing, actually giving it to people now instead of having them write it off? They're actually sending cash to parents, yeah.
And not very accurately either. I know someone who is upper middle class, and he's getting those checks. He never signed up for it. He has no idea why he's getting these checks, but they're coming.
Do you think they'll be able to pull this capital gains increase off?
I'm afraid so.
Wow, that's not going to be pretty.
Right, yeah. It's a terrible thing. It's just going to destroy jobs. But, you know, the population doesn't know any economics or any real economics, so they have no idea what's coming at them.
I saw some of the numbers for the amount of taxes in the state that you live in, you know, if you add them all up. And you guys in California, you're right at the top, man. You guys, you're right. You're right there.
It really is awful, yeah. Incidentally, people sometimes ask me about the name of the newsletter, the Early Warning Report.
Early Warning Report.
We took that from, you might remember in the 1950s, the Dew Line, D-E-W, the Dew Line of radar stations across Canada.
Huh.
And the purpose of that was to have a distant early warning of bombers coming from Russia. And so that's, you know, our newsletter follows that model. We try to give you distant early warnings of what's coming.
And that's really your specialty, because with all of your experience, you're able to kind of look at the big picture economically, geopolitically especially, right?
Yeah.
And so you can have some early warning, which is what you want, because you want to beat the crowd.
Yeah.
Right?
That's exactly right. You want to get ready as soon as possible when there's something nasty coming, and believe me, there's something nasty coming. There's something nasty that's already here, the great eruption, but it's not recognized yet.
Yes, sir. But before we go then, simply, though, do you think we do pretty well if somebody, it's too much for them to figure a lot of this stuff out, they just do gold and silver, say coins or whatever, they're going to do okay?
That's certainly one of the very first things you should do. The first thing is food.
Food.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I would say the second thing is the means of self-defense. And, you know, from there you can go on. One of the very early things you should do is precious metals, mm-hmm. gold, silver, platinum, coins. Minted, in my opinion, in the United States.
Right, real American money.
Yeah, real stuff that an American would recognize. And, there are coins minted by the U.S. Mint and the Canadian Mint, which would probably be okay, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gold, silver, and platinum. And right now, I think platinum is the best deal out there.
Why is that?
It's just lower than the others. It hasn't, for some reason, been discovered yet. Things that get discovered in runaway inflations don't all just be discovered at the same moment. Some things are early, some things are late, and I think that platinum is late.
So you can get platinum coins, but they're not really real American money, right? They're more bullion coins from somebody.
Yeah.
Right. Does the Mint sell platinum coins?
Yeah, these are made by the Mint, yes.
Do they? What, do they have platinum in the basement there that they just do at night?
I don't know what their basements look like, but they just go out and buy it from wherever they can get it.
And make platinum coins, huh?
Yeah, I think a huge amount of it comes from gold mines. There's very few mines in the world anymore that just dig out one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like gold or copper or whatever. Most mines, a shovel full of ore comes out, it has all kinds of metals in it, and they separate it out. And so in a gold mine, you're also going to have silver and platinum and copper and nickel and all sorts of other things, yeah.
Charlie wants to know, what does your guest think about Newmont mining? Is that a gold? Mm-hmm. Is that a gold stock thing? Newmont mine?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I think it's got a good future.
Good company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you say we call it a day? And what are you going to do today for fun?
I'm going to work.
You working on anything special, or just more research? More research?
Just mostly the next newsletter, the September issue. We just put the August issue out now.
So you just start right away and dig in and say, what are we going to talk about?
Yeah, I spend 3 months, I'm sorry, 3 weeks a month on each newsletter.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah, right. There's a lot of research goes into this stuff. That's the key to seeing ahead, is just doing your research, understanding how the world works, and sifting a huge amount of information about mostly about what governments are doing. Very little of it is ever good. It's a really good way to get depressed, is to think about what those people are doing.
Yeah, I just saw, I think they got a deal on $1.5 trillion infrastructure bill, so there'll be another $1.5 trillion that they'll borrow from the Fed. Never ending. Well,
yeah.
Mr. Mayberry, it's an honor to have you here. Thank you so much for coming on our show every month. I really appreciate it.
Patrick, you're doing just such a great job that almost nobody else is, and I really appreciate it. Personally, straight from my heart, you're doing great, and thank you very much.
Well, my pleasure. It's an honor. So take care of yourself. Say hi to Samantha, right?
Okay, yes.
And you guys have a nice lunch, and we'll see you soon. We'll see you next month. Thank
Sounds
you, sir.
Good.
Bye-bye.
Thanks,
thank
Patrick. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Richard Mayberry, I'm going to give you a little plug here for the early warning report. Good man. And here you can see it. Special offer. If you click on the front page of One Radio Network and you get this puppy, and I think it's $170 or something like that off. And you'll see it right there. Just click on the front page of One Radio Network. It's really worth it. It's just great. I just read the whole thing this morning and got a lot of interesting ideas to help you think in a different direction. It's not just like a regular newsletter and with charts and buy this and buy that. It's really good stuff. You save $121, so the $179 will get you a year's prescription to do the early warning report with Richard Mayberry. And a little plug here from my good friend Fred with U.S. Coin Capital. You can see it here. It's 800-878-2646. This is the place to go if you want to get some gold and silver coins, real American money. He doesn't do the platinum things or anything, but real American money, 800-878-2646. You can talk to Fred, talk to Donna. Good people. They're not going to try you sell you some stuff that you don't need. He'll take the time to find out what you want to do, you know, what your budget is, what your long-term goals are, and you can start buying some numismatic coins today, and they'll come in registered. I think they do FedEx now, and a little all certified in plastic containers. And trust me when I tell you, I've known about numismatic coins for 20 years since hanging out with Andrew. No matter what happens, you're going to be able to sell these guys for more than you know. I don't do medical, investment advice. I can't do that. But you're going to be able to get them for more than what you paid for because of the gold and silver content. And then also the numismatic value. So it's a great company and people that you know, I know, and trust. It's U.S. Coin Capital, 800-878-2646. You tell them I sent you. They'll take extra special care of you and they'll give you all the time that you need. Well, we had fun today. Dr. Barnard, he was fun, right? I think I just may buy some organic soybeans and eat some. Why not? And then Richard Mayberry. Tomorrow, Dr. Jane Ruby. She's a wild one. I think you're going to be interested to hear what she has to say. Dr. Jane Ruby tomorrow, and that'll be at 10 o'clock Central Time right here, One Radio Network. Sorry we couldn't get the audio thing to work this morning. I'm just not sure why. Let me try it again and see if it'll connect up now. Oh, now it's connecting. Oh, good. I don't know why it didn't connect earlier, but I'll talk to my geek and see if he knows why. We just couldn't get it to connect for some reason. Okay, well, so I love you all very much. Thank you. We will see you soon. See you on tomorrow. I just said tomorrow. See you tomorrow at 10 o'clock with Dr. Jane Ruby. Let me know if I can help with anything. You know, I'm in here in the country, but I don't get too far away from computers, sadly. And so my email is not far from my eyes. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Let me know if I can help. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. I love you all. Thank you. Take care. See you tomorrow, 10 o'clock. Dr. Jane Ruby.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.